This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. I have Brad with me in studio.
What's going on?
For a little bit. Fun day yesterday. Fun day of hoops. A little disappointing, though. Not as many upsets as maybe we thought, I think.
You were disappointed?
I think. I'll get to that
okay.
In just a minute. Tigers are going to play today in the NCAA tournament against Colorado State. At 1 o'clock, so that's going to go down in the middle of the Jason and John show, by the way, so you guys, I'm sure.
Will yeah, be, we'll have to do play-by-play while
we'll
doing the radio
show. We'll be doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
Jeff Calkins is there in Seattle. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to talk to Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian, my co-host, my great co-host on the Daily Memphian Grizzlies podcast, and we're going to talk to Jason Smith. I almost forgot Jason Smith. We're going to talk to Jason Smith at 9:30 as well. But first, we're going to start with the man in Seattle, Jeff Calkins, the man whose name is on the show. Jeff, you were there yesterday for all the festivities. You tweeted out several photos and videos of the Tigers cheerleaders in the arena. I guess, what was the takeaway yesterday? What was the vibe like in Seattle?
First of all, I mean, we're really far away.
Yeah, you are.
It is really, you know, you fly to Detroit, and you got another flight, you fly another 4.5 hours. And so, you know, sometimes you walk into these open practices, and there is down in Fort Worth, there was no open practices in Fort Worth, but, like, there was a lot of Memphis fans in Fort Worth for the AAC tournament. And not surprisingly, you know, there's basically, if there were 10 Memphis fans in the open practice, there'll be more today, I'm sure, because a lot of people don't come to the open practice, so they were traveling yesterday or whatever. But, so we're incredibly far away. There wasn't, in terms of the vibe in the building, there wasn't much vibe, honestly. It's a beautiful building. It's where the Sonics used to play, and it's where and Penny talked about that a little bit. It's where the Kraken play now. And, you know, it's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful city. Nicholas Jourdain said, yeah, it reminds me of New York City on a hill. But it's interesting he says that because there's enough tall buildings that it does have a little bit of a New York City vibe, and yet there's water and hills and whatever everywhere, and the original Starbucks and whatnot. But then, obviously, the news of the day, although even that is a wild exaggeration, because if anyone thought Tyrese Hunter was playing before they went to the open practice yesterday or the locker room yesterday, you were kidding yourselves. I think we've been pretty clear. The guy's been getting around on a scooter, right? Like that does not set you up perfectly to play in an NCAA tournament game. So, I guess if anyone harbored some, hope and the day before Penny had been talking about prayers, and so we did get confirmation. He himself said, I'm not playing. And then the Dante Harris, I guess there was some suspense about that, but it looked, they go through a very, very light, they have a real practice somewhere else. And then they go through a very, very light sort of just so the fans can see it. And so they get used to the rims or whatever. They could shoot a little bit in the arena, a very little light sort of, shooting drills and stuff. And Dante Harris did not participate in that. Even this very light, he dribbled the ball, but mostly he just stood there holding a ball over by the rack of balls while other people were going through their thing. So I don't think either one will play. Maybe, I suppose, you can imagine that Dante Harris might possibly give it a go if some – but no. So it's Burak Okogie. Like, that's what it is. And he's going to be the point guard, and they're going to go from there. And so that really was the only news of the day, and even that didn't really – it didn't really qualify as news because I think we knew the situation. And so then you're just with, it is a moment to appreciate that Memphis is back, like it was not a given that they would be, after the way that last year went. In fact, I talked to Penny about it yesterday and he went back. He said, all I know is it started with the Caleb Mills injury. And then he said, and I don't know what happened after that. That's what he said. Like, it was such a disaster. And then the summer and everything else, I don't think you can take it for granted that they're back here. And it is, it's A, where they belong, but it's also, something special to even be a part of this. And then, as I wrote in my column today, once you're here, you don't know what opportunities are going to open up. Like, look at that. 2 years ago, Florida Atlantic, and what could have opened up for them had they just won that first round game. And so you get to embark on that today in what is really a massive day for Memphis basketball between the game the Tigers will play and then also on the West Coast, the game that the Grizzlies will play with a team that's,
I'm going to talk about that as little as possible.
I mean, that's one of the teams that they have to stave off to stay out of the play-in is the Clippers, and they got the Clippers tonight. So what a day for Memphis basketball. And so that was really the vibe here. It's a, my God, isn't it good to be back? And I do think it's, and you have to appreciate that they're back. But these things can come to such a sudden end, as we saw yesterday. I don't think Clemson expected to be home, but they're home, right? So it's a fun day. I'm rambling here a little bit, but I thought about this. The Memphis has had a successful season. I don't think anyone would question that. But there's a difference between a successful season and a special season. And programs are built, and the Memphis Tiger program has been built when people fall in love with a team, when memories are forged, when season ticket bases are restored and built, and when little kids, like, that happens in special seasons. And this program has had a whole lot of them, not just the Final 4 years, but the Elite 8 years and the Sweet 16 years. And those, then, I can talk about, I happened to mention, I think you brought it up, another time that Memphis lost as a 5-12. They lost to DePaul once as a 5-12. And all of a sudden, John Virgos of the Rendezvous, he started texting me about games that he had remembered. Penny Hardaway's last game, Penny Hardaway's last game was against Western Kentucky. And it was a first round game. And Penny hit a bucket to put the Tigers up. And he had an and one. He hit the foul shot, but Billy Smith was guilty of a lane violation. And like John Verkos can remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like NCAA tournament games, regular season games run together. NCAA tournament games, you can remember all of them.
Yeah, they stand alone.
They stand out, yeah. You just have to say the year, the place, the team, whatever. And so that's what's at stake today. You know, whatever happens, we will remember it. Like, this is a game that will be remembered. And it could be, you know, it could be part of one of those special seasons.
Okay. I want to get back to Memphis. But I got to say, like, I watched the games all day yesterday. And as I said to Brad, like, I was a little disappointed. But I'll say this. Like, I don't think we got enough. I don't think we got a ton of upsets yesterday. We didn't get a ton of close games either. We got some late. But, like, it makes me feel slightly better about the Tigers today, watching yesterday, especially watching how bad the Mountain West has been. The Mountain West, now 2-33, double-digit seeds from the Mountain West, 2-33 all-time in the tournament. And Utah State got wiped off the court yesterday by UCLA. It wasn't even close. And, you know, I've been joking saying that this is the Pac-12 championship game between Memphis and Colorado State. But, like, seriously, if you've watched what has happened to the Mountain West so far this year, I don't know how you don't feel maybe a little bit better about the Tigers today.
I agree completely. It's one of the things. This is Jeffrey is having dad challenges this morning. So did he, by the way, do we know, did he win right in the right trivia yesterday in my absence?
Yeah, one of his best. Okay. He walked out of here with his head up high.
He was in his bag. Yeah.
He was getting a little too cocky, honestly.
Yeah.
But he has long been a Mountain West skeptic, and they have lived down to all of his expectations for them in this tournament. And I think that's, you know, whatever, you can talk yourself into, you know, you look at the analytics, Colorado State's been beating teams by 15, and, you know, as won a million games in a row and everything else. But look what they did in the non-conference schedule. Look what they did in the non-conference schedule. They beat nobody. You know, their best wins are three wins against Boise State. Really, that's the best thing they've done. And so, no, they've got their best player, Neek, is an NBA draft pick this year. So he's not like a Mountain West, you know, level player, athlete, whatever else. He's an NBA level athlete. And, you know, Memphis is without their starting point guard and their backup point guard. So I think there are vulnerabilities here. But yes, it absolutely made me feel better about, about what Memphis has, because in the end, there's a bunch of athletes on that Memphis team, and Dane Danger, who is, was asked, you try to be as humble as possible, but he did have something like, I don't know if they can handle my size and speed, and I think that's what will be a real challenge for them.
Yeah, he's so much quicker than I thought he was.
Oh,
he moves so much better than if you saw what he looked like. I watched some of the highlights at Illinois before he got here. Just everything he's done this season has been surprising. He shouldn't be able to do what he does on some of these things. It's just
And even from the start of the season, I remember in the UNC exhibition, I'm seriously unimpressed. Oh my God, they got another big who can't play dead. And in that championship game, he went coast to coast. Now, I don't recommend that, right? But the fact that he does it as deftly as he does.
Just let Dane play point guard. Who cares,
That's right.
We've been through this so many times, Jeff. Remember, everybody's played point guard. DJ Jeffries was going to play point guard under Penny. Yeah. Everybody played. So,
let Dane play point guard. Amani Bates is going to play point guard. Yep. Of the unlikely candidates, yes, Dane might be better suited than a lot of them. So, yeah, and then the way that translates to the way that he moves in the, and the post is just with spinning left, right, left hand, right hand. He's been a force. So I'm pretty hopeful about it. I am. But it's funny. I in the comments of my column, The last line is something like, you know, will a legacy be made? And literally one of the commenters said, wouldn't it be better to say what legacies will be made? I have will legacies be made? And I think either way, a legacy will be made. Like either way, this will be implanted in our memories. And, you know, I don't know. Do I want it to come down to the last second shot? I think I'd rather Memphis just roll.
Yeah.
You know, I understand
They've
your
done
need
enough
for suspense.
Of that. They've done
I understand
enough.
Your, yeah, I understand your need for suspense in the tournament generally, but I'd be happy to avoid it in this game. And I'm with you. Like, I didn't, because I was working and writing and covering Memphis, I didn't see a lot of the early stuff yesterday. There were obviously upsets, you know, McNeese and Drake and whatnot, but it didn't feel like mayhem.
No, you know, it's funny. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I gotta be honest. Like, we come into today. Where I went to school, Alabama's playing at 11:40 today. And when you come into day two and really there's been no stunners yet and your team is going to be one of those in that. Like, I just get worried, man. I get worried. I'm like,
that's why you're disappointed.
I'm like,
yes,
no, but wait. But, like, you're waiting for something to happen. So this is the funny thing, because I was looking this morning at the brackets in my family group. And then, because it felt like yesterday was uneventful, like there wasn't a ton of upsets, right? Or at least the teams people thought were going to win ended up winning. And so I go into the family bracket pool and I'm looking at the standings, and I'm very surprised by who's in first place. In first place is my grandfather. Now, my grandfather is in a memory care facility in Florida. And so his kids went to Kentucky, so he's a Kentucky fan, right? He picks Kentucky every single year to win the championship without fail.
Principal,
you know, when Kentucky's not in it, he's saying, where's Kentucky? I still want to pick Kentucky. You know, like, that's the way it goes. Well, this year I was laughing because he fills it out by paper and then I put it in on the, online. I was laughing. Because I came to realize he didn't pick a single upset. He picked no upset. He picked the favorite in every single game in the first round, and he leads. So that when I looked at it, it confirmed, there we go. There we have it. It wasn't as eventful of a day as I thought. But you know what? It was still somewhat fun. I think if it does anything, it sets up
Michigan
a great
was fun.
Second.
I mean, there were games that were fun at the end. Clemson became obviously interesting at the end. But even then, a bunch of games started out like they weren't going to be interesting and then became interesting at the end. I mean, it's funny. I do think, like, the thing that, what were people talking most about? I think people were talking most about that you're going to have Callum Patino next, right? Like, that's one of the things they're talking about. It's not even what happened yesterday. It's what it sets up next. That was certainly one. And then the Will Wade stuff, obviously McNeese wins, and then the way that he conducts himself, basically saying, yeah, I'm headed to NC State, and my players, this is great for them. You should see how many everyone's in their DMs recruiting them. This is how it works. I'm totally open with them, and I told them, listen, if you come here, you can go to a Power Five. Let's be honest and open about all this. I do think it's amazing how much credit he gets for just being basically honest, you know, for not having to live with the fiction about what college sports is about. Because he was honest, he is being hailed now as a hero because he didn't, you know, traffic in the same fictions that coaches have.
I mean, I guess, but Will Wade's always been honest. Remember, he was honest with everybody. You know, Will Wade's an honest guy. If anything, he's an honest guy. You know, he's making strong ass offers. You know?
He's making strong ass offers. Yeah, so, it is funny though. Like, what was once the dirtiest coach, coach in the NCAA's. Is now
he's just part of the program now, you know.
Yeah.
And now he's held up. He's held up because he's honest. Because he is so honest.
Yeah.
But he's going to be, and he even made the point, I think, on Field of 68. He's like, you know, Villanova's trying to buy out active coaches right now. You know that are in the tournament.
He's got five coaches right now. Hell, the Colorado State coach is you know, he wasn't asked about this, but most people think he's headed to Minnesota, unless there's been news on that that I haven't followed in the last 12 hours or something. So absolutely. All this stuff is happening. It's one of the things, again, that I've mentioned about Penny that's refreshing, is that when you have when you're in a mid-major conference, and I'm not saying Memphis is a mid-major, but they're very clearly in a mid-major conference, right? When you are in a mid-major conference and you're having success and you're in the NCAA tournament, it is typical that your coach will be, you know, wooed, considered, I wonder where that coach is going to go. You know, but you look at the difference between Colorado State and Memphis. There's no one asking where Penny is going to go. And it is one of the gifts of having, you know, someone with the ties to the community and the program, that you don't have to be going through that on days like this.
What's with those Jumbotrons in Seattle? What's up with that?
I didn't inquire as to what was up with the Jumbotrons.
Did you see? Yeah, there's a lot of people responding to your picture.
There's dueling Jumbotrons.
There's dual. Yeah, I've never seen that. There's double.
No, double the Jumbotrons. Yeah, they. I mean, it's a gorgeous arena, and it is funny. More than the Jumbotrons, what strikes me walking in there is it's just. And this isn't going to change about FedEx Forum. You know, the thought was is that they were going to renovate, when they renovated FedEx Forum, that they were going to flip it so there were many more seats downstairs and many fewer seats upstairs, right? That they were going to change the architecture of the bowl. Well, that proved, I think, to be too expensive and too ambitious, so they're not going to do that. But you walk in at this place, and it's many more seats downstairs, like the pyramid sort of used to be, and then boxes, and then many fewer seats upstairs. It's just so it's interesting. It's just when you build your arena in time, happens to influence what people think matters at that moment, and FedEx Forum from that perspective is just built wrong.
You know what I saw the other day online, which was it was a ranking of every NFL, MLB, and NBA stadium. So any ballpark, arena,
really?
All of them, based on their average review rating on Yelp. So there's 90 total.
Okay.
Where do you think FedEx Forum falls in its Yelp reviews out of 90? I'll tell you who the last – I'll give you the bottom two. It is Commander's Field, which everybody knows is a rough one, and the Oakland Coliseum, okay, which is obviously the A's are no longer there. But that's 89 and 90. So where do you think FedEx Forum falls on this list? And number one is Lambeau Field.
It's old now, and it's going to got to be refurbished, and so I bet it's 78.
It's 35, which
good
was really surprising to me. You know,
good for us.
Congratulations,
good for us.
FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
FedEx Forum getting great Yelp reviews. It's above. It's above TD Garden. It's above Ball Arena.
Wow.
I mean,
well,
people,
what is what's
it
funny?
Must be
it's
the
funny
people,
how it's
you know?
It is funny how it works. FedEx Forum. When we used to get raves because, among other things, it's right there on Beale Street, right? So you had NCAA tournaments there. It was like, this is what a perfect setup. It's right there. Beale Street's right there. The NCAA tournament comes, the playoffs are there. They're like, it's everything else. And then what's happened is, A, it's aged. And so, you know, we know that. B, the Grizzlies have themselves, as they have been, you know, explaining why money is needed for renovations. You know, let's be honest, Jason Wexler has led tours around the area saying how crappy it is, right? You know what I mean? So, like, we know that. We've taken politicians on tours. Sam Hardiman's reported in the Daily Memphian saying, you know, this is why this area needs to be cleaned up. And then generally what's happened is that our view of it, the reason we're surprised that it's ranked that high on Yelp, I think is shaped by what we now think of the state of downtown. And instead of thinking, you know, it's great that it's on Beale Street, we think, oh my gosh, it's right there on Beale Street. You know, it's and I don't. I think maybe we veered too far one way and don't appreciate, you know, what a great place it is. Same thing, honestly, with AutoZone Park. We had, we had Craig Unger on the other day because the Cardinals are, opening here Monday. Only one of two Major League Baseball teams that are playing an exhibition at the, you know, at the place where their where their minor league affiliate is. And I think people forget there. You still walk in off a, you know, Third and Union, and you walk in and you walk, you know, straight in and you look down on that field. It's beautiful. Now,
yep, it is.
Bathrooms need renovation. Like, there's no question. It needs perking up, but that is a great minor league ballpark, and still is. And I think over 25 years, we probably don't appreciate it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, as we talk about this, this is Yelp, right? So again, the people, the city is
okay,
about.
But here's the question, though.
So maybe if you go and you have a great experience at a Grizzlies game, you're more likely to give it a positive Yelp review.
But it's the opposite. Yelp is a negative place. Yelp isn't your experience with Yelp that people are more motivated to go and rip something than they are to go and praise something? I do. Like, if I'm in Seattle. I was looking for a restaurant close to my hotel. I go to Yelp, sort by distance rating, you know, whatever. So I do, broadly speaking, you know, I don't want to go to a place with 3 Yelp stars. I want to go to a place with 4 or 4.5, right? I do, broadly speaking, trust the consensus on Yelp. I don't, you know, I don't trust particular reviews, because that person could be a jackass or, you know, that could be a one-off. But broadly speaking, don't you sort of put some faith in – I put no faith in those things we get about – you know, we get updates all the time about what's the most searched pie in your state, or what's the favorite Halloween candy in your state according to Google reviews. I put no faith in those, right? And but in terms of broadly speaking Yelp reviews, I think they kind of align with my sense of reality.
Well, I got to be honest, though, like maybe for restaurants, I don't put much faith in this list either. But I think you're right, and this is why you're right. Because if you – about the thing about Yelp being a place for more negative than positive, obviously. I think that's also something that's just happened over the last few years, where that online universe has just become that way. And if there's ever been a sign of that, you just look at the teams at the bottom of this list. Like, all of the new stadiums – that were built in the era where the internet is mean.
On.
Oh, yeah. Like Chase Center, brand new or pretty new, you know, Golden State Warriors. That's at 83, 84, Intuit Dome, just built.
Really?
Like, these are insanely nice arenas. Chase Center, 83,
Jerry World?
Intuit
Where's
Dome,
Jerry World
84. See, but Jerry World has existed longer.
Oh, so it's higher.
You know, so I think it would be higher. I'm trying
so what's
to find
the top 10? Do you have the list in front of you?
Yeah, I have the list in front of me.
Okay.
The, Jerry 10. World is 24. So the top 10. Number 1, Lambeau Field.
Okay.
Number 2, PNC Park.
Okay.
Number 3, Camden Yards. Number 4, Busch Stadium.
Old, bro.
What?
Really?
Number 4, Busch Stadium. Number 5, Oracle Park. Number 6, Lumen Field. That's where you are, where the Seahawks play.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Fenway Park. Number 8, Wrigley Field. Criminal that it's that low. Number 9, Kaseya Center, Miami Heat. And number 10, Target Field. Amazing place. Target Field could literally be number 1 in my opinion.
I think here's the other thing. I don't think, like, if people go to a restaurant and have either a positive or a negative experience, they are aware that Yelp is there for them to rate the thing. That's sort of, whereas I don't think if you go to an arena, you think, I'm going to pop on Yelp and rate this, right? I think in that way, it's a weird bunch of people who think to go rate a stadium on Yelp. generally, I don't think that is. But by the way, Drew, I do want to congratulate you. You have pretty successfully avoided talking about the Grizzlies
for much of this
entire first segment. It is funny. I which is really astounding, because like it's a massive game tonight. I read Chris's piece. You know, we've all talked endlessly now about what ails this basketball team. And so Chris broke it down into 5 things. He wrote a piece at the Daily Memphian. You can read 5 things that ail this basketball team. And all very thoughtful, all very true, I thought. Some of it was fairly pointed. You know, he says pointed out, they got worse at the trade deadline. They certainly didn't get better, right? There's a sentence in there about that. And they just did. I don't think there's any question. Even if they had just done nothing at the trade deadline, they would be in a better position than they are today. So
we don't know if Marcus Smart would be on the floor.
No, but they wouldn't be in it. They could be. No, but Jake LaRavia would be.
Right? I suppose. Yeah, I suppose. But yes, that one would help them a little bit. Yes,
a little bit. I'm not saying vastly. I'm just saying doing nothing, you would have had at least more bodies available to throw into the breach.
Well, preferred right? would be to have more. Right. That would be preferred.
Right. So, slightly dispiriting to me about it, reading this piece, is I got to the end and I didn't have an answer. it laid out all the issues, and I'm not saying that's his job at all. It didn't leave me with a lot of hope, you know? All that's wrong. I see all that. Now, give me the good scenario. What's the good scenario? Drew, give me the good scenario, just for fun.
Give me the way this is going to turn out well. Is that Ja comes back, he's healthy, and the team is engaged, and we come to learn that they're just, playing patty cake right now. And in the end, they're going to turn it on when it matters. And so they're going to get to a playoff series, and they're going to beat the crap out of the Houston Rockets or whoever it is in the first round.
Yeah.
They're going to play a competitive second round series, and we're going to go, all right, well, that wasn't too bad. You know, it was rough at first, but we figured it out. You know, that's, I think, the positive scenario.
The part of that sentence that threw me off a little bit was they're going to turn it on when it matters, because it would strike me that now is what matters. I think we've arrived at the mattering part of the schedule.
I mean, come on, Jeff. Nobody's playing real NBA basketball at this point in the stadium.
I asked you to do it. You were giving it your best shot. And so maybe things. Big day. Legacies will be made. Legacies will be made today.
Yeah, it'll be. Here's the thing, though, about this Grizzlies game tonight. There's still no Ja.
I know.
And they're 0-7 in California. They're going for 0-8 tonight. It's just hard to feel positive. It's just hard to feel good about it.
Let me ask you this, though. The California aspect of it.
Yeah, I think it matters. I think the L.A. thing matters. Go look at how they've played in L.A. the last few years. They don't play well in L.A. Say what you want about it.
The California thing doesn't matter, but the L.A. thing matters.
The L.A. thing does matter to me, yes.
Sacramento is not. You're not the wild nightlife of Sacramento. You're not including in this.
No.
They're thrown in because they happen to be in California.
Right.
Yeah. Well, all right. I appreciate you doing heavy lifting on the show. I guess we got Jason Smith coming up next, then Chris Harrington. I will tell folks that legacies will be made, and if you want to get those legacies framed and so you remember them forever, the Frame Corner is the place to go, 5035 Park Avenue. That's what they do. They take memories, and they find the perfect frame and the perfect matting, and they make them last forever. And that's whether it's weddings or sports memorabilia you have or whatever it is. For 50 years, the Frame Corner has been making memories. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. I'm going to take a break. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. I now welcome on Jason Smith, host of the Jason and John Show, every single day here from 11 o'clock to 2. He'll have you set for the Memphis Tigers game today. I'm sure you'll be giving the play-by-play today, Jason. What do we think? How do we feel about the game today? As the moment has approached, are you feeling better or worse about the Tigers' chances given the injuries?
I feel pretty good. I don't know about better. Given the fact that I think for the most part we've known that even if you do have one of the two point guards, and obviously Tyrese pretty much ruled himself out officially yesterday, but if you had Dante, if you had one of the two, you know it's still. You know, you're shorthanded, and you're doing it against a, you know, while we may be questioning the quality of the Mountain West, and we should, you're doing it against a team that's certainly better than those in the AAC, better than anything you've faced recently. And so, you know, we've known that all week is my point. So I guess I've been feeling pretty good, Drew, to answer your question all week long. And looks like the guys are loose from everything I gathered by, you know, from all the reporters we've got out there. It looks like you're, you know, loose in a good frame of mind. And I tell you what, I mean, in the end, isn't it just great to have something to play for, to have these kinds of stakes? I mean, this is what you want. And whether you feel good or bad about it, everybody's kind of got that nice little, those butterflies, because it means something. It means more when you get to this time of year. It's great that the Tigers are involved, and you're hoping this year, you know, you don't leave anything on the table, as Penny has put it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you could have asked for coming into this year, I think. It's kind of crazy how far we are from when this thing got started, right? How far we are from the moment that Penny let all those coaches go in the offseason, and everybody had something to say about it. And I just remember last year I was at the SEC tournament around this time, and I was saying, Penny needs some continuity, man. We can't just be doing the full flip everybody every offseason and expect that this is ever going to work out. I was wrong. Like, I was wrong about that. Penny has found a way to do it. And so to me, like, on this day, I think you look forward to the game, but you also look back at how you got here. It's pretty surprising, is it not?
Well, it's surprising. And how you've gotten here and the way you've done it, I think no matter what happens today, Drew, I think you feel –
better if you were in those shoes and you were questioning Penny. And I think if you were, you were probably doing it rightfully so. I mean, Penny has told us that, you look ahead now at the future of the program. Remember last season's debacle of a finish. The questions were, is Penny the right guy for the job, right? Is he gonna make the adjustments necessary? Does he want this anymore? We even got some of that this summer in terms of, you know, when he felt personally attacked. He flipped it. He turned the page, you know, sort of set aside the things that were uncontrollable, which for him are, you know, what the media says, what the fan base is saying, you know, focused on what he had in there. And what's really weird is that clearly, and Penny's acknowledged this, Stansberry helped him put this roster together. And then you get rid of the entire staff, including him 2 weeks before the season, and you decide, you know what, we're going to move off a guy in Tyreek Smith who, Stansberry helped me bring in, but whether it's money, NIL, and his demands, this doesn't feel good for chemistry. And so at that point, right, and then further on with what you've got to do with Tyrese and PJ and developing chemistry, you know, it's completely your team. And it was when he built the roster. I mean, Penny has the final say. But it quickly becomes yours. Now it's no longer what Stansberry did to help you. And I think taking this roster, making it your own, literally your own, because the guy that helped you put it together is no longer there. You know, that coaching job he's done, like you said, flipping a roster or 12 of 13 guys, bringing it together, coming off of last year when we were questioning all those things, can Penny keep doing this and build a decent enough chemistry that's going to, you know, get you out of an 8-9, not just get you out back to the tournament, but get you out of an 8-9 game so you don't have to play a 1. The way it's transpired, Drew, has given you confidence, has given fans confidence for, you know, Penny, his control of this thing going forward. And frankly, I mean, that's what you want. You want buy-in if you are the coach at the University of Memphis, obviously from your players, from a chemistry standpoint, that stuff. But I'm talking about as you build that brand, Penny needed buy-in again. He needed belief. And yes, Drew, the way he's gone about this season and earning this 5, you go 10-3 against the 4th toughest non-conference schedule in the country, has really built up some equity, I think, when it comes to people believing that he is the man for the job. Very important season. Very important the way it's transpired for his future here at Memphis and where this thing's going to go.
100%. And I think he should feel validated. And I feel more confident. Like going back to what you were just saying, I feel more confident in it because when I think back to like the early days of me covering this program and then just all the way up to this point, there's always been the assistants that were like at the top in Penny's range that you knew were helping to build the roster, that you knew had big influences on some of the players, whether that be Mike Miller or Rick Stansberry or whoever else you want to put into that category. Penny's had one of them on every single staff. And I'm not saying he doesn't have that person now, but it's very clear now that Penny is the one that's out in front.
100%.
There's no one standing directly next to
him
anymore.
There's no my guys, your guys, you know what I'm saying? Or just that sort of potential to hover over things when you've got adversity or whatever else. No, they're all Penny's guys. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you decide to make that move, and listen, you're you know, it's a risk because what you can't argue is that Stansberry helped him put together a pretty good roster, right? I mean, that's what's clear now. But again, to your point, when you don't have that Stansberry or Miller there, times get rough for guys. Maybe it's not going right. Perhaps those players go to those coaches, those assistants, right, and start saying, "Man, what is this? You recruited me over here. Yeah, we finished it off with Penny, but this ain't what I banked on." Oh no. There's none of that. There is no question now at that point. You know, you go through adversity, you got to go to Penny. And again, not saying that's what was transpiring season after season, but you take that potential out of it. And he's talked about it, you know, not second-guessing himself. This is, you know, saying, hey, I got to look in the mirror and be better. And then, and yes, it's all on me. And so whether it's a sort of, you know, taking that potential hurdle out of the equation to help, you know, with this chemistry issue that was certainly one last season, I think it's all certainly been to the good. I think Penny too, Drew. I think it's true because we watched it with Josh. Stop worrying about what the media and the criticism and the fans are saying, because in the end, if you get overly distracted by that, I've watched this too long. It can take away from you in terms of what you can control, what you're coaching. It can be a distraction to a coach, because then that sort of becomes, can become the storyline with your players and everything else. Control what you can between the lines. I think Penny said, that's what I'm doing now. Clearly the change has benefited him. And, man, to see it, you said the key word. It's really been validation, right, for that the changes that you make, it's turned out well. Doesn't always go like this, man. You know, you can have a – if they put together a bad roster this offseason, no matter what kind of changes you make in terms of your coaching style or holding guys accountable, it can still be a hell of a bad – it could be a bad year. It's all come together for them, and it's so huge for that program, because again, we've said the best thing for the Memphis program, even after last season, it's why, you know, Penny gets another chance. It's why you had to. He's a program hero. He deserved it. But you said the best thing for the program is to get the best version of Penny. Let's see that. Let's see if he can get there. And I do think that, you know, Ed Scott, the new AD, and certainly Tim Duncan, Penny's former teammate, was on the 92 team with him that made the Elite Eight and is now his boss, have made, put Penny in a comfortable enough position where he said, you know what, I do have to adjust. Here's the thing, Drew, you know this, having watched all these, the, you know, the good coaches, the great coaches, they're willing to adjust. Mm-hmm. They don't think they've got it all figured out.
Nick and that's Saban, look at what Nick Saban did all those years. That's 100%. Why he was so good. Yep.
And I'd use the recent example, I did it with him on the phone earlier this week, the recent example of Josh Pastner here at the very end wouldn't go get the X's and O's guy that Calkins and all the columnists and all the radio show folks were saying there at the end of his tenure. He goes and does it immediately at Georgia Tech, wins ACC Coach of the Year, and Eric Reveno, the former Portland head coach, who was that. Point was, he was too stubborn, whether it was media or whatever, said, I'm going to do it my way. Penny, that's where we were with Penny last year. Are you going to change? Are you going to make some adjustments? Or is it just going to be your way, and maybe that comes up short? And what did Penny do? He said, no, I've got to change. Some guys don't get there, you know, while they're in the middle of it. They either have to be fired, move on. Maybe they never decide, and there's where the career ends. Give him credit, a guy who's been as successful as Penny. Randolph Childress talked about that. You're a millionaire. You got a signature shoe line. Everything you've touched has turned to gold. You've always been a success. What do you mean I got to change, right? But give him the credit for doing it. And, again, whether, you know, it's advice or people making you comfortable, in the end, you're the one it's on to make the adjustments, to make the change. You know what? I can do better. I can be better. That's what Penny has done, and, boy, has it paid off.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, like, I feel like I can say this. Like, it was like a year ago I was talking to somebody that was around the program when Penny was there as a player and, like, talking mm-hmm. to folks and, you know, they were just surprised that Penny had become what felt like so uncomfortable in that role last year, right? Like, it felt like so defensive and like, but and thin-skinned to some degree. But like, look at what he's done now. And whether it's Ed Scott or whether it's Tim Duncan or whether it's just Penny, and I want to give the credit to Penny. It's different this year. And the hope is that it's different every year from now on, because this right. version of Penny is the best version we've seen. And so I was glad that when I asked him last week how he's changed as a coach or how he's improved as a coach, that was what he pointed out, you know? He pointed out that he's better in the locker room. Because I don't know, it's harder to be good in a locker room when we have what's going on last year and there's infighting within the team and there's Penny, you know, kind of passing the blame off to other folks. Like, I think that this year has been such a revelation. It's been so good for the program. You just hope it continues. But you can't just assume that these types of things are going to happen, like that you're going to win a conference championship every year, that you're going to be in a position like this, that you're going to play this well in the non-conference. So it does. It kind of builds to this moment today that feels like a really big moment for the program and a really big opportunity for the program.
It's huge, but I'm going to go back to something you touched on about how we were all kind of amazed, right, the way Penny was lashing out. He felt attacked, but he was giving it back, right? And he even talked about what the program might be if he left. And we said, well, whoa, Penny. Like that, you know, boy, this sounds personal. And maybe we're surprised in terms of his willingness at that point to let it out. But I think, Drew, if we took some time, and we've talked about this, but if we took some time to put ourselves in his shoes, it's a little bit different. It's a lot different, forget that, than a Josh or anybody else who sat in that chair for a Penny and for a Larry Finch. Mm-hmm. Those guys that have been the city's heroes, right? that everything they've done for Penny, it's coming out of Treadwell. It even goes back before that. It's he's the guy. His city has loved him. Frankly, it's wanted to put him on their shoulders. And then when he goes to Orlando, Drew, when Memphis still didn't have an NBA team, Orlando becomes Memphis's sort of semi-team in a way because Penny's down there making first-team All-NBA teams, and he's a god. He's the city's favorite son, and he's made us all proud. He's kind of put Memphis on the map in an NBA sort of way in that way. And so my point is that he gets here, he takes the job. We understand where it is at that point, and he's doing it, hell, frankly, for obviously less than most coaches because he has no experience. But back to the point, now he's getting attacked by this city that has loved him the whole way, this city that he's made proud, this city that says he can't get it done. You know, he looks at these tweets and Facebook and everything else. He turns on the radio or hears somebody trying to come in and tell him, you hear what they said about you now? I think if we put ourselves in those shoes, yep. If we had been in that life, we would completely feel what he felt and probably feel like venting. Now, some do, some don't. But what I give Penny so much credit for is, man, he vented that out. He let it out. And, yeah, I mean, he's admitted it was a bad look. But, man, I mean, so many guys, and particularly guys who have been the success that he's been and continues to be, the guy still selling, I mean, Nike shoes. What are we talking about here? I would tell you that, man, I've seen a lot of those situations. Those dudes don't change. They don't have to. They can go to the golf course. Life's good, you know. And man, I tried to come help you. You didn't want my help. You could sort of see that road. But, man, I give him all the credit in the world because in the end he said, this is on me. And so I just think we can definitely understand why he felt the way he did. And then, my gosh, you got to give him all the credit in the world for – if you can feel that and feel how it must have felt to him for putting it behind him, man, and worrying about, again, what you can control, which is doing your best you can for this program, which in that case, it called for some adjustments on his part. He makes them. And back to your point, man, here we are now with a 1 p.m. tip. You're a 5 seed and you're out of that 8-9 game, right? That which was so key. If you're going to do more than, you know, if you want to make this second weekend, first one since 2009, you've really helped yourself in terms of the past. Now it's time to go out and get it.
You know what I respect so much about Penny is the fact that there's in basketball this almost like tough culture where you can't let the other person see you blink, right?
You already know.
I'm always confident. I'm always confident. It's like, I don't think you were always I think you lost confidence in your shot a little bit. You know, like there is that that exists in basketball,
that air,
right? Last week, Penny gets asked if he's ever thought about whether or not he needed to give it up in terms of coaching the program. And Penny had every opportunity to play into that basketball culture and say, never. No. Like, I never doubted myself.
It's funny.
That's not what he said.
Was that not, maybe not verbatim, but was that not sort of the question Calkins asked him when Brad uses the drop all the time? But wasn't it that? Wasn't it along those lines? You questioning whether you're the guy right now?
It was.
And remember what he shot back, right?
Yep.
Right.
Stop asking Yeah.
Because at that point, again, it's Penny. Who? What do you mean? Yeah, I've come back to save this thing. I'm one I'm one of us. I'm one of the Tigers who's back to save this thing. You know, just like in the way that Larry did. And so those were those early moments, right? Where any sort of criticism probably or questioning along those lines probably was that. It got under his skin, and I thought that it shows you the growth, Drew. That's what you're pointing to, dude.
Yep.
It
because shows what you he the said, growth. What he said this time was, I had to consider whether or not I'm the guy because the program is basically bigger than me. Because I just want success for the program and success for the city.
Boom.
And ultimately, I decided that I'm still capable of doing it.
Boom.
That's exactly what you should say.
That's
incredible.
Growth. That's growth. And Drew, I'd point to another one is the exact same thing. We had him on our show a couple weeks back. I asked him about the criticism of when he fired the coaches 2 weeks before the season. That included Gary Parrish. You know, a Memphian, local, but national too, in his role with CBS Sports, who had written that thing, that article, basically saying, is this the end for Penny Hardaway? And back to your point, Penny had a chance This is headed to the tournament. Headed to the AAC tournament, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago. But coming off of a fine season, he had a chance to shoot it back and say, told you so. You know, all you guys that, and what did he do? And, you know, I didn't put Gary in front of him to run over, but it was there to do, Drew, to your point. And he said, you know what? Everybody's got a job to do. And he didn't have to point out Gary in that response. It was blanketed, whether it's Gary nationally, locally, whether it's local radio, whatever it is, you guys got jobs to do. That's what he told us. Bro, that's growth. At one point, you're taking it personally. We can understand why. Right, you came up a player. You didn't come up wanting to be a coach. You've come into this game as a second career. You're getting this criticism. It's brand new to you, and to be able to adjust the way he has, and then you know grow clearly because he could have shot it back, Drew, right there at GP, us, all the rest of them that were asking, is he the guy for the job? And he didn't. He said those guys got jobs to do just like I do. I'm gonna control what I can. Bro, that's, you got to give him all the credit in the world. The dude's still growing. And again, if you've got a coach that's growing, getting better, and he's doing it at a pretty damn high level right now, that's when you feel good about the future of your program. That's how you get that buy-in that we're talking about. Get the buzz and excitement.
Okay, last thing real quick before we get you out of here. Barack Okogie, we think he's going to play point guard today. How do we feel about it?
I feel good in the sense that everybody knows on that staff that, you know, you can't let him indecision and, you know, indecisiveness sink you. And so whether it's, you know, some Barack Okogie, again, 28 minutes he did against UAB, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that again, whether it's out there for spurts, whatever else, what you're telling him to do is just make good decisions, keep it as simple as possible, you know, not foul defensively. I know we've Barack is that. He sort of brings an energy defensively. He's been charged with much more today. But not to get overly aggressive because you're going to need him on the floor, particularly if Dante Harris can't go. I would go ahead and stick with him, man. Well, I talked about it with your guy Park yesterday. Penny, he stays in the same hotels if he wins. He starts the same starting lineup if he wins. And since it worked.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.